Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
I want you to meet an absolute powerhouse of a woman tonight. Based in Canada, Dr. Pat Francis is head of Pat Francis Ministries, the founding pastor of Kingdom Covenant Ministries. She's been appointed to the United Nations through a non-government organisation to fight poverty. She's published 125 motivational CD and DVD titles, hosts a weekly television program, all grounded in her simple vision to serve God and humanity and to make my world a better place. Dr. Pat Francis, it's a great honour to meet you and welcome to Open House.
What a delight to be here with
Thank
you tonight,
Thank you so
Lee.
Much. I wonder, do you not sleep or do you have a mountain of energy that enables you to do all these things? How do you do it?
One of the key, because I'm asked that a lot, is because I love to develop leaders. I love to identify the greatness in others and develop it. And once I develop it and I birth something, then I delegate. Mm. So I have a great team of people that believes in the vision and that are working hard to see the vision a reality.
There's a key, delegation.
And because it's the visions is so varied, because we're in charity, we're in enterprise, I'm a pastor, but I'm also a business person. And so with all the different varieties, we do orphanages and all that we do, we have great team of leaders. So it's like David and his men.
That's a great
illustration. You know, he had a 400 of the most unique type of leaders. And those were the leaders that actually helped him to fulfill the vision that God had given him for his life.
If I was to look through the many things that you do and the causes that you support, the one consistent theme that emerges to me is your great compassion and your great commitment to those in poverty or need. And you've been able to mobilize very considerable resources to do that. You say it's a genetic gift of charity and enterprise fired by your Jamaican parents. How did that play out?
Yes. Well, you know, my parents had a grocery store in one of the poorer areas in Jamaica. And my mother used to keep two books. She had one book for herself, accounting book, and then there was the real book that my dad managed. And in her book, she used to give away a lot of things to the poor. Mm. She would use what she called the trust system. And they will come to buy food, and they will come to buy things, and they would say, we will pay you tomorrow, we'll pay you two weeks. And a lot of times she knew that they couldn't pay, but she would write them up in her book. And the only one that knew about her book was she and God.
Why did she do that?
Well, she wanted to help the poor. She couldn't give away the food, but they knew that if there was no money, they could still come to that shop and they would get food anyway. And so for their dignity's sake, she had a trust system. It wasn't begging. Mm. They were hoping to pay.
What drove her commitment to the poor, do you think?
Well, she loved God. You know, my parents were not very religious in their own way, but she herself, coming from a poor environment, she knew that there were some times when she would tell me that they didn't have food and they would eat bread and water, or they would sprinkle salt on the bread, and they always had different kind of yams and potatoes because they live in the country village. So they always had food like yam and potatoes, but no meat sometimes. Mm. So they would sprinkle salt on the yams and they would eat that. So she knows what it's like to have tight times. So moving into the city, which was Kingston, in the shop, there were people that couldn't afford to buy food, because in the city now you don't have your own gardens with your yam and all of that that are just free in the country. You can just pick it anyway. So people had to buy their bread and buy their meats, etc. So she had this trust system that she would have in her books, and sometimes they pay and sometimes they didn't.
And it clearly had a very significant impact on you.
Yes, I saw that. I saw how people knew that they could count on us somehow to help them through. And it's by God's grace, I just got a passion for missions myself. And while I was working at the hospital, I used to just decide, where am I going to go this year? Who am I? Which missions group I'm going to be? And, you know, some people, they would pray and fast and say, God, you know, send me to the nation, send me to the nations. But with me, it's just like, you know, I have 6 weeks off. I'm going somewhere. It's like, I didn't have to pray and fast about it because the Bible already said to go.
Just can't do it.
I just went and do it. So I traveled throughout Africa and Asia, just serving the poor.
It's notable to me that your mission is a combination of charity and enterprise, so that people are given a helping hand, but also by helping them to help themselves in a way.
Well, having experienced missions through the poverty to the poor eyes, you know, I remember sleeping in roach-infested, rat-infested places in Africa and Asia. And I realized there's a kind of mission where we hand out to the poor and we hand out to the poor and we feed them and give them survival. And I find that the people are not transformed. They're kept alive, but they're not transformed. They never even had a vision of change. They just were glad for the missionaries who will come and hand them out. And I said, God, this is not the way, because I believe that they can become just like us. And so I said, now, God, help me to find a way that we can rescue the poor, especially with children. So we put them in orphanages, but that's survival. We give them the food, we give them the clothes, we give them a house. That's survival. But the next thing is we want to empower them and literally change their poverty and make them become prosperous. Because I believe that God wants to bless everybody, regardless of their color, or regardless of their culture, or regardless of which country they just happen to be born in. I believe that God can transform lives. And more than just keeping you alive for heaven, He can transform your life on earth. And that's where we came up with the culture, charity and enterprise. Yes. Because charity sees the needs, but enterprise provides the solution. Charity has the compassion, but enterprise turns around and not only say, I'm compassionate, but let me help you get out of it. So it's enterprise is more practical.
And speaking of practical, I always think the best way to relate visions like yours and work like yours is to tell it through stories. Can you bring us a couple of stories where you've actually seen this work and in transforming people's lives?
Well, one of the things when I came out of working in the hospital and God just laid this bombshell on me that we would start not a church, of course, but a Bible school, a Bible study. I wanted to start my own Bible study. So I started a Bible study on a Friday night, 10 people, and then it grew to 70, then it grew to 100. We had to name the thing, so we called it Thank God It's Friday. And this Thank God It's Friday thing grew up to about 700 people. And when we realized, is this a Bible study? What is it? And that's when we realized that God is saying, this is not just a little thing. You know, you need to name the thing seriously, and you need to realize that people are not going to church on Sunday mornings. So, you know, do something. So we started a Sunday morning fellowship of over 700 people. And one of the burdens I had was young people. I would see young people in the malls not going to school. I would see the hatred in their eyes. I would see the drug culture. I would see lives being destroyed. And I say, God, give me the ability to help. And I prayed and fasted all night for several months. God, I want to be a solution. And you see, this is the enterprising part. You can see the pain, you can see it, but then to be enterprising mean I want to be a solution. And so God sent 120 of the worst young people out of our city to our church. They came with guns, they came with all kind of things. And I took them away for a weekend and spent the whole weekend with them and motivated and shared and prayed and inspired.
And they were open to that.
They came and their revival happened and they gave their lives to the Lord. And so we became enterprising because I saw where there were so many needs. A lot of them were high school dropouts. So we became enterprising. We created our own school. So we have a high school that with no failure. Then we saw many young adults in prison. So in enterprising, we decided we're going to create a solution for that. And we created a program called Restorative Justice because I convinced the judges and the prison system that it does not rehabilitate. Mm-hmm. And when you have a vision, God brings provision. So a group of judges and a group of lawyers came together and we created this program. And everybody would say the church and the state cannot work together. The church and the state will never work together. But God proved them differently because it was on God's heart to bring transformation. And so this program now, when the young people committed crimes, they're sentenced and they're guilty. A group of lawyers go to them through the court system, etc., sentenced to 5 years. But instead of 5 years to the prison, they're sentenced to 5 years to our church. And those lives have been transformed. They have become professionals in different fields. Many of them have become graduates from university. And low recidivism, in other words, no repeat of crime. God has really transformed their lives. What? Because we gave the option. And that's what enterprise does. We don't just curse what is wrong. We create the alternative.
What an enlightened justice system.
Yes.
We're with Dr. Pat Francis from Pat Francis Ministries and the United Nations and many other things around the world. Pat, I mentioned your vision to serve God and humanity and to make my world a better place. In addition to, again, what you say is that genetic gift of charity and enterprise from your parents, what is it about your own faith in God that stretches you beyond your comfort zones? Because none of this is easy.
No. When I recognize that God loves the world, you know, it's such a thing for us to say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But what does it mean? He really does love the world. And because he loved the world, it means that he has solutions for every pain. He has healing for every broken heart. He has alternatives to everything that we have tried in our own power to do. And, you know, we do some good, but then we create some messes with it. And so I begin to say, God, I want to be your vessel to bring solutions to the world. So I became a solutionist. I literally make up that word because I didn't know any other word to call it.
Oh, to give the world more solutionists.
I became a solutionist. And I say, God, help me. For example, when we started our churches are now about 3,000. But when we started our church, you know, and we started with 700. We started a church with 700 people. So I had to immediately become, what is a pastor? Because I had no mentor. I never went to Bible school. What is this, God? And I noticed a lot of the people were poor. A lot of the people didn't own home, and I begin to study the word of God. I begin to see in Deuteronomy 15:4 where it says there should be no poor among you. And I challenged God in that. I said, are you saying that there is not one person in your kingdom that should be poor? He said, that's exactly what I said. He says, but the poor you'll always have with you, because unfortunately, not everybody will embrace the kingdom principle. Or not everybody would believe that I would love them enough to take them out of poverty, or that I am powerful enough to do it. So I got practical, again, enterprising. So we started a home acquisition program in our church. And over 300 people that never thought that they could own a home found out that once you think it, God will give you the ability to achieve it. If you have the faith, God is well able. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with provision. It's just that people are not able to believe and then move into the practicality of how you make your faith become a reality.
Although sometimes God does allow tough stuff to drive people to him more and more, independence on him.
Yes, and he does allow circumstances to make us closer to him.
Yes,
but it doesn't mean you have to make the circumstances your permanent reality. And that's the difference. Mm. And so these people began to own homes, hundreds of homes. And out of that, I begin to say, God, I want to create wealth to help more people. I love young people. I have a passion for young people. And I would declare to them, you're going to have scholarships. I had no money, but I know that that's God's will. I said, if you line up yourself and stop acting as if your brain is dead, then God will open doors. And, you know, we were able to give out over 100 scholarships. And a lot of those young people that never had fathers to help them recognize that God is your father.
Yes.
And just like earthly fathers want the best for their children, that if you connect with God, he is provider. And God really took the people out of poverty. And now they've moved from owning one home to several homes because they realize, wow, it's like the leper that went into the colony, the nation, and they were fearing all along. And they decide, you know what, we're out here. We're dead anyway. Let's go into the enemy's camp and see if we can steal something. And when they went to the enemy camp, the enemy were all dead.
Yes. Yeah.
And they realize, wow, all of this was waiting for us, but nobody dared to step into it.
Pat, you've clearly achieved so much in your own life, and you dwell in a lot of your work amongst some very powerful and wealthy people. You've received many accolades. Your CV is remarkable. I wonder how you remain grounded in humility under God doing all this great work.
Because when I look into humility, humility to me is to honor and respect truth. Because one of the things that has happened to the church is that the enemy has trained us to undermine ourselves and to call it humility. We don't dare to say anything good. We don't dare to say anything great because that is perceived as pride. But instead of pride, it is false humility. And so it's to understand what true humility is. For example, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Now we, in our training and in our culture, will say, well, that's so arrogant. But it's not arrogance, it's an embracing of truth. When you're truly humble and dependent on God, then you can boast in God. And God says the way, what is humility, is to let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, yes, in myself I am weak, but I am strong. Why? Because I have God. And so humility is to respect, to embrace truth, not to undermine it. And so we have to be careful of false humility, where we feel better to say I'm a worm. We feel better to say, I'm nothing. Who, me? I'm nothing. And we think that that's humility.
Yeah.
But that's undermining who we are in Christ.
We are made in the image of God.
Exactly.
Yes.
But if you say that, it can sound arrogant, but it's truth.
Yes.
So the Church of Jesus Christ need to embrace true humility. Embrace truth. And then once you embrace it, speak it. Let the weak say, I am strong. And then you will become what you begin to declare. The Bible says everything is created by what you say. God says, I will create the fruit of your lips. So when the fruit of your lips keeps saying that I'm nothing, I'm weak, I'm stupid, I'm this, then you become it. But if you begin to say, no, I can do it. I can do all things. I'm not stupid. For 5 years, I taught my young people myself. I didn't even put them with a youth pastor. For 5 years, I taught them every Sunday morning at 9. And I will tell them, yes, you can do it. You are not garbage. You are not. Come on, say it. And they begin to say it until they became it. The ones who thought they were stupid are university graduates right now, because they begin to embrace the truth, speak the truth. Say what God says about you. That is humility.
In the power of God.
Yeah.
Can I paint a scenario for you? You're returning from one of your whirlwind tours of so many varying descriptions from around the world, doing your great work. It's been a big tour on the back of probably a couple of others. You've got 2 days home and you don't turn the computer on. What do you do to chill out or relax or break from all of this?
Well, I love the spa. I love the spa. And then I love movie nights. I have dinner and movie nights where we watch movies, you know, action films where we know that the bad guys are going to die. And we know that, you know, James Bond will live forever. He cannot die. And, and things like that where you can predict. I love that because then we laugh, we talk, and it's foolishness. It's incredible. The man is flying in the sky. He doesn't die. But wow. And then you can live in that dream world and say, yes. Evil lost again.
Favorite movie?
Well, I love action types of movie, like The Transporter and James Bond movies and that kind,
Great stuff. I want to ask you in conclusion, what's your vision of the future, both in your own life and what the future holds for the planet?
I believe right now with all that is happening in the Middle East and what is, you know, I've never been the one that say Jesus is coming. I've heard that so often. But I tell you, I really believe we're going through what I call a kingdom quake. Kingdoms are shaking right now. Revelations 11:15 says the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ. I know there's going to be a kingdom transfer. And God is demanding justice. Ruthless leaders are coming to justice right now, and God is shifting and shaking. So it's time now for the body of Christ to rise up and begin to position themselves so that God can shift them and put the Daniels in place and the Esthers in place and the Joseph in place and the different leaders in place in all spheres of society. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be the greatest entity on earth. I believe that God is preparing the church to be rulers and leaders and to prove God as who he is. The church has had a heart for the poor, but now the church is going to, in addition to having a heart for the poor, the church is going to prove that the best singers and the best leaders and the best media people, the best sports star, the best people of influence are going to come out of the church, and they're going to go on shows, and then they're going to talk about the great things they do, and then they're going to give glory to God. They're going to say, had it not been for God, where would I be?
Pat Francis, it's a great privilege to meet you. Thank you very much for joining us on Open House
tonight.
Thank
you so much, Lee. It's my pleasure.
So be interested in your thoughts on that issue, as you heard from Pat Francis. Believe and our faith becomes a reality, or you can become what you declare. Has that happened in your life, as it undoubtedly has in the lives of numbers of people in Pat's ministry? Has the power of positive thinking become so powerful that it's actually been a self-fulfilling thing in your life, or as you've seen it? Other side of the coin is this. If you're sick or suffering or stuck in a hard place, all the positive thoughts and willing it to be different might well not change where you are. Maybe it doesn't always work. If you look at the Bible's most powerful story on suffering, the life of Job, It's clear that for a time Job's terrible suffering was in God's control, part of God's plan and purpose. And it was God's timing that ended it, not actually Job's thinking. Again, it's not to deny the great benefits of optimism, being positive, even how that can change things. Maybe that's been in your experience. We'd love to hear that too. Or maybe you're where Job was right now, and all he can do is trust God's timing and his ways, which is a mighty powerful thing to do in and of itself. 1-300-40-2020 is our number. Julie's rung in.
Oh, hi.
Thanks for your call.
Yes. Look, I just wanted to make a comment about the person that you had on earlier about if you have faith and vision and if you really believe, then you can do anything through yes. Christ who strengthens you. Well, about 10 years ago, I contracted a serious virus. And, for the first few weeks I was in shock. And I've been a Christian since I was about six, so my faith with God has developed over time. Sometimes it's been low and other times, I've been able to build on that. But I talked to my parents about it and we prayed and we believed that God can heal. And I said to God, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to pray about this. And we continued to pray. And after about 3 years of praying, I started to get disillusioned. And at now this point, 10-year point, I've started to see that, you know, God can do anything and he can answer my prayers as long as it achieves his will and purpose for my life, not my purpose for my life.
It's a great point. Yeah.
And the other thing is that sometimes what St. Paul said does apply, that his power is made perfect in my weakness, you know.
Yeah.
And although God hasn't delivered me from this disease, he has given me incredible blessings and freedoms in other areas that I didn't expect. And this one, I need to continue to depend on him. And it's not so much, you know, God, I keep praying, I keep having faith, why don't you remove this? It's Norma, it's in my hands. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't matter, because in the end, I'll take care of you.
Julie, I'm so glad you have called in tonight and told Australia about it. Thank you so much.
And, you know, I just want to say that if I had hinged my entire faith on God removing this and he didn't, and I thought, oh, well, stuff Christianity, it doesn't work. That's the only thing my concerns about people saying if you have vision and if you have enough faith,
yeah,
God will do it, is when God doesn't do it, then what?
Great point.
Okay.
Julie, thank you so much for your call.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.